Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, great. Enjoying the summer weather already.
Yeah, it's like 85 here. It's fucking warm.
Yeah.
I was able to switch from pants to shorts last week, and I don't think I'm going back until
nice. Like
October. So, yay.
Nice.
So what's been going on?
Well, in case you haven't heard the news, Queen Latifah is alive and well. Apparently, there was a death hoax last week.
Oh.
So she went on Instagram and posted.
Why was there a death hoax? Was she like over in the Middle East or something? And reports of her demise were now.
She was in Saudi Arabia in right around Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, apparently,
there's a death hoax.
Apparently, there's a death hoax for Quentin Tarantino as well. Because
he
was in the Middle East, and when the bombing started, nobody had heard from him, or at least that was the rumor. So they thought he was dead too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. We had a church group that was stuck in the Middle East. They had gone to Jerusalem, Israel, somewhere along there. And, you know, as a way to, I don't know, get in touch with their spiritual selves or preach about God or whatever the fuck they do. And they were stuck, and there were no flights back, and apparently they had called the State Department or whatever, and they were told that, like, they couldn't help them. And so they finally made it back, and all these people on Facebook were like, oh, praise God, you're back safe. Well, maybe you shouldn't have gone over there, especially when you knew there was a fucking conflict.
Right?
And you shouldn't be praising God. You should be thanking the pilots for fucking getting you out of there.
Right, right.
But, you know, that's not good enough here. So, yeah.
Well, it's down here, too. I went to Michael's a couple of days ago, and there were just a bunch of people in Praise Jesus t-shirts stopping traffic and passing out flyers and yelling, God bless you, and... I just really wanted to give them a piece of my mind. But then, so after I got what I wanted in Michael's and left, I came out and they were gone.
Yeah.
And I went across to another part of the strip mall and they were doing the same thing over there in front of Five Below. It's like, what do you really think you're going to accomplish in this? Please tell me.
Yeah, please. I don't know.
You know, I mean... So, there's a bloody, horrendous war raging in the Holy Land.
Yeah.
Where, allegedly, the U.S. bombed a girls' school and caused 100 deaths.
Yep.
And you think wearing your t-shirt is going to solve that.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
My kid's school has a Bible group. I don't know if it's a club. I don't know what the actual thing is. So she says that when she's sitting there in the morning waiting for them to be let in the school, they'll come over and they'll talk to her and ask her, you know, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And I looked at her and I said, you know what will work and will get them to go away from you is when they ask you that, you go, Hail Satan. That's all you need to say. And they'll stop coming up to you. And she was like,
they won't have like a mass prayer thing for you to save your soul?
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just so tired of this fucking area where it's like, go away from me. Like, I don't want to talk to you. And yet they're all like, you know, the kid can't even sit there and read her book in the morning without them like right. coming up to her and asking her, you know, all these stupid fucking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just say Hail Satan. Hold up your hands in the devil's horns. Be like, you know, this is the dude that I follow. He's got a beard too. The other thing
yeah,
I said,
good times.
The other thing that I said that would, I don't know if she would ever take into consideration, but I said, here's the other thing that you can do is ask them to prove to you where white people are in the Bible. Because they're, white people aren't in the Bible. That wasn't a, we weren't a thing when that Bible was written.
Nope.
And,
nope.
You know, make them understand that you're just like, you're not going to take their bullshit. But I don't know if she'll do that.
Well, I think they were penciled in by King James when he did the rewrite.
Yeah, bullshit. White people aren't in there and America's not in there.
God bless America.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good times.
Have you heard the rumors surrounding Firefly?
I was going to talk about that. That's on my list.
Well, great.
So Nathan Fillion has been releasing a bunch of videos on Instagram and probably other platforms where he's gone up to the house or workplace of each of the cast members who survived the Serenity movie and has knocked mm-hmm. on their doors, and they come out and they say, is it time? And he says, it's time. Let's go. And the last one that I saw was them going to, Jane's house, and he's
yeah.
dressed as this character. That one's pretty good. He was like, are we doing this? And Nathan Fillion's like, yeah, we're doing it. And so a lot of people had assumed that it was going to be a reunion of some sort and or like a podcast, because Nathan and Alan Tudyk have their own podcast. So mm-hmm. people were thinking that it was going to be that, or, you know, like they were going to do like this big reunion panel at Comic-Con or whatever. And everything that has been brought up, Nathan has personally said, you guys are way off. So they're supposed to make an announcement on the 15th of March.
Yeah.
And tell us what the fuck's going on. And Ron Glass has passed away. So
yep.
obviously they're not going to do anything that takes place before Serenity, that, you know, without like writing him out. And I don't think that they would.
Right.
Like, this has got to be a continuation of the story of where they are now and what they're doing or whatever. If it is indeed some kind of like either limited series or TV movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I am kind of super excited. I didn't think we'd ever get more Firefly. So
yeah,
here we are.
Can only hope.
Yeah.
It was such a great series, but
yeah. And
now we wait.
They tried with the Serenity movie, and I don't know what failed in that regard as to why it never caught on. It didn't do great at the box office. And the movement at the time of like, we want more Firefly seemed to be gigantic. And then that just did not equate to like box office. So I'm not really sure what they can do at this point. I know that TV is clamoring for not remakes, but continuations of shows. They did that with Will and Grace, and they did that with Malcolm in the Middle recently. And hopefully there's something in place. I don't know how I feel if Joss Whedon is involved, just because of all the shit that he's been accused of.
I don't know if he would be involved. I think it would take away a lot of the attention from what they would want to do by bringing the characters back, I think.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm kind of excited. Because recently, yeah. Funko put out Pops, like a second edition of Firefly Pops. And people were like, that's kind of odd. Because there had already been like wave one of Serenity Pops or whatever they were. Firefly Pops.
Yeah.
And so people were like, well, that's kind of odd that like the timing, it's not really an anniversary year. It's not really anything other than like they're wanting to do this. And now it seems like they might have known something that was coming. If on the 15th, they're like, hey, we're doing a 6-episode thing on whatever channel that they've sold this to. And by the way, it's already been shot. And, you know, we're in the middle of post-production. It'll be out during the summer. Like, that would be fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that'd be the way to sell it. But I don't know if how close they'd be to, like, because what I don't want is, hey, there's discussions. And, you know, right. We feel good about it. Well, that could be disastrous. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would assume that if they're going to announce this, it's like almost a done deal. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. Although, did you watch all of the videos that they released?
I hadn't seen the one with Baldwin yet.
Okay. Sean Mayer is looking a little chunky these days.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. Like, he comes to the door, and I was like, oh, that's him. I mean, that was 20... Serenity was, what, 21 years ago? It was like 2005?
Yeah.
And the TV show was a couple of years before that, so...
2002,
okay. 24 years?
Yeah.
Wow. It's nice to see that they all still have love for the project, so.
Yeah. I mean, Fillion and Marina Baccarin are on new series. Well, Rookie's been going on for years now, but.
Yeah.
Jewel State had a new one on CW.
Was that where she was like a lawyer? Seems to work
a lot.
Or something?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. I mean, Zoe seems to steadily work in the sci-fi genre.
Yeah.
Tudyk's always working.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in fucking everything.
Yeah.
He's like Disney's like magic person. Kind of like Ratzenberg was for Pixar.
Pixar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fillion and Tudyk were just on Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner now have a podcast called Dropping Names.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They had them on, and they weren't trying to tease anything. They were just talking to them as like, because they had worked together for a long time. And it's a really interesting listen to like the way that they've used Alan. Like, he's able to, like, they just call him whenever they're doing a new Disney film and they're like, you want to come in and do a voice? And he's like, yeah.
Right.
And that's all he's got to say. And then they just write parts for him. Must be nice as an actor.
Yeah, sure. So what have you been watching this week?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
I watched the new High Potential.
Yep. With the car dealership?
With the car dealership. And as soon as I saw the dude that used to be on Righteous Gemstones, who played the the brother-in-law, I was like, he's the dude. He's not going to be in a guest starring role if he's not the guy that murdered the person.
Right.
And sure as shit, he was. But I did appreciate all of the interstitial stuff where they were showing like the cars and like, you know, they're trying to show what had happened, and it's all done like with what looks like miniatures, and like, I don't know. I really enjoy when they do that stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like they get away from that, but this was a, like, there was a lot of it in this episode, especially when they were recounting like, well, why would I frame myself? And then they go into the whole, well, this is how we think you did it. I also watched Star Trek.
Yeah.
Starfleet Academy. Is it the penultimate? Is that what number 9 is?
The one before the finale?
Yeah. So this episode felt like Star Trek. Jonathan Frakes had directed it, which I'm sure has something to do with it. But this is what I feel like the entire season should have been like.
Right.
Them being on the trading post planet trying to look for Caleb's mother, and them getting caught and all that stuff felt like a Star Trek episode. It wasn't about like what was going on at the school and all that stuff. You have Holly Hunter going against orders and actually like taking the ship in the hostile territory. You know, it felt more like Star Trek than the last 8 episodes before it. Well, the Miyazaki one felt very Star Trek to me. But anytime they're off of Earth and they're in the ship and they're doing whatever, because that's what Star Trek is about, right? It's about exploring. It's about being in a starship, and it's about, running into these situations where you have to think your way out of it and get the upper hand on the bad guy. I don't know. This felt very Star Trek to me. How did you feel about it?
I really liked it. I mean, it felt like they're finding their footing. I hope it's not too late.
Yeah.
You know, the one before with the girl from Discovery who came on board as a teacher.
Yeah, where they had to act in the play while Sam was getting rebooted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was kind of okay. I mean, sometimes it feels like they're looking for academic-based episodes.
Yeah.
So they can, like, justify, you know, the name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think this one, you know, like you said, felt very Star Trek, felt very much like what we've been expecting them to be.
Yeah. And I just... I think you're right. I don't know if it's too late. But the weird part is as soon as you make an episode like this, you start to see the holes in their storytelling of like, well, this is what it should have been. And right. It should have just been them in space. If the ship is Starfleet Academy, why does the ship have to be on Earth?
Right.
Like, why can't they be learning in space and running into these situations where they're having to learn how to think on their feet and whatever?
Right.
You know, the weird part for me is that, like, they warped into a situation that, you know, they knew that, like, they were taking the ship into a place where, like, they could be in danger, and there's only 4 people on board. And mm-hmm. It's like, why wouldn't you take your senior staff? Why wouldn't you take all your bridge crew? You know, like, right. Like, just have a scene. We're not beholden to, like, 42 minutes or whatever it is. They could have made a scene mm-hmm. where Holly Hunter goes to the bridge crew and says, listen, I'm going to break orders. You don't have to come with me. Right. Anybody who doesn't feel comfortable does not have to go, and then have them do the no captain, we're with you type of, you know, heroic part. And it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. And they just like, nope, it's just me, the doctor, and Tig Notaro. And that's it. And you're like, and then, right. You know, the 2 other people had stowed aboard. And it was like, why would you do that? Now we're in a point where they can't get back in the Federation space, and now they're going to be stuck, and now what do we do? And it's like, well, you could have done like something better than that, like in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just hope that it's the season finale doesn't like just fall apart, that they don't erase on any like of the good stuff that they've done in this last episode.
Right.
But yeah. And I guess they had wrapped on season 2, and the feeling around the set was one of like, we don't know if we're coming back, so like they threw like a wrap party just in case.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, because of the shakeup of Paramount and stuff, I guess nobody's assuming that like anything is coming back. So I don't know.
That would really suck.
Because it's the first time in over a decade where there's no new Star Trek being shot at any particular time.
Right.
So, you know, whether you like the shows or not, this could be the end for a while.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah. So what have you been watching?
I just watched the first episode of Monarch.
Yeah, I watched that too. I did watch that.
Oh, good. I thought the special effects were a little off, especially the reveal of Kong.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's still really cool what they're doing with this franchise.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever considered like a weekly TV series when they started making the movies. Yeah, and I'm very pleased with the idea that like at the end of the last season, Kurt Russell seemed to be stuck in the other world.
Right.
And I was like, oh, so what are we going to do, a whole thing where he's not in it for a while? And then they rescue him in the first episode. And I was like, all right, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to see him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see where it's going to go this season.
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely seeing a lot more different types of kaiju.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's on the ceiling in the bar.
Yeah, and the fact that by rescuing Shaw, they have unleashed a brand new giant kaiju that I guess that Kong was trying to keep in the other world.
Right.
And he would look pretty pissed at the humans, so hopefully they can. I'm waiting to see Godzilla though. Godzilla's still my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's supposed to be in this season.
I don't know. I was never a big Godzilla fan. I remember that randomly it would be on, the movies would be on repeats on like Saturday morning.
Yep.
On the, you know, the local channels, but it's there's cool stuff, and it's got Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell.
Yep.
So, you know, let's hope that they didn't rescue Kurt Russell to, you know, put him in an office somewhere, or there's some, you know, total fluke accident.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's really signed on to this, that he is.
Yeah.
He's embraced this as like, you know, I don't know if you'd call it a leading role or not, but, you know, recently it's been more like playing Santa Claus than I think the movies he actually likes to make. And I think this is a kind of return to form for him, even if he's not doing the stunts. You know, he's doing action.
He's not?
No, dude's like 80, right?
He's not doing the stunts?
Not this time. Sorry. Oh,
that's sad. I'm so disappointed.
I mean, he hasn't really done stunts since he broke his ankle on Soldier.
Yeah, I know. Still pretend.
Yeah. I mean, the stunt guy looks just like him, so, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Have you started to watch Paradise yet?
I watched the first episode.
Okay.
I watched it. I watched that on Friday. I was like, oh shit, I need to watch one of those. And so it was the Graceland one. Very gutsy to open season two without any of your main characters.
Right.
Because I honestly was like, did I hit the right show? And I remember saying that, like, you go to Graceland, and I was like, all right, so this must be, and I checked and I like pulled it up and I was like, no, this is okay. This is season two, episode one. And I kept waiting for the main dude to show up, the main black guy. And I was like,
yeah.
And it just kept going and it kept going. And I was like, okay. All right. So we're recounting like the super volcano from somebody else's perspective. That's cool. But I was like, wow, that's very gutsy to just be like, we feel so strongly about this story that we're just going to devote an entire hour to this out of like whatever, how many episodes this gets for the season.
Right.
So, and it felt strong. It felt like, you know, it was definitely a good episode for the story that they were telling.
There are a lot of twists that start to get revealed as it goes on.
Okay.
You do end up going back to the bunker.
Okay.
But there's also a lot of it that's taking place up in the real world.
Okay.
Looking for his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
But, so far it's, it's Fallout without the funny.
And I did notice, so like, I've never been to Graceland. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's all laid out. So I did a not a deep dive, but I started looking at, like, there's a shot where the woman that is the nurse that lost her mom is sitting outside of Graceland, and she meets the woman that would eventually hire her and become friends with her or whatever. And the reverse shot from the gates is an airplane. And I was like, huh, okay, I wonder if that's actually there. So I pulled up Google Maps and pulled up Graceland. And in typical TV fashion, there is a plane outside of the Graceland compound, but it's further down the road a bit. And so they have digitally taken it and to put it right across the street from Graceland. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, huh, that's interesting. So as I was doing the research, there was a bunch of people that live around Graceland that was complaining about the show, about like, yeah, that's not the way that any of this is laid out. There is no terrace on top of Graceland that you could put a telescope on top of and see downtown Memphis. And like they were going into the nitty gritty of it. And I was like, I was reminded of Falling Skies when they come to Charleston and and like they're taking refuge in a unfinished mall that has like sub basements and stuff. And it's like, you guys have never been to Charleston because like the water table's so low, you can't have a basement. So, so yeah, it's just funny to see like when it affects the area of where you live, people are always like, yeah, that's not the way this is laid out. You can't go down that road and get to there. You know, that kind of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it was pretty funny.
Well, you've got 3 more episodes to be caught up on, so.
Okay. I will try to
get some must-see TV.
I will try to get to that this week. For sure. All right.
That's your assignment.
Okay.
Have you watched anything else?
No, I haven't. Well, I did watch. Did you see the trailer for the Lanterns TV show?
Yeah.
It's an interesting take on the character, I guess. I guess the suit is brown and not green, which is a little weird. I guess this is firmly.
They're saying there's very little green in the Lanterns trailer.
Yeah. This is firmly placed within more of Peacemaker than it is, say, Superman. Because Hal Jordan's using the word fuck. And it seems more adult than like what we got with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out where this kind of lives as far as like, you know, if for some reason they go to Metropolis, is it going to be David Cornsweet, his version of Superman? Because Hal Jordan says, John Stewart asked him if he's ever talked to the other Lanterns, and he said no, one of them's like a raccoon or something, or a squirrel. Well, we've already gotten a Lantern in the DC universe that is human. So are they saying he's not part of the Green Lantern Corps? Or does Hal Jordan not know about Guy Gardner? So I don't know. I don't know whether or not we're even going to get those connections.
Well, apparently Fillion's already confirmed that he's going to show up at some point.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it sounds like it's less of a superhero series and more of a...
It's like a police procedural or something.
Procedural?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're like trying to solve a murder somewhere out in the Midwest and...
Yeah.
So, it's a very interesting take on it, but... I don't know. They keep referring to it as being very earthbound.
It definitely looks like it. It's definitely got like they're not they're not, you only see Hal Jordan fly once.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really seem to be using the ring for anything. So I'm not really sure. This is going to have to be one of those that I watch in order to really understand if I'm going to like it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait and see what it comes out to be. I mean, it could work very well as kind of a buddy cop Western, I guess. But, I mean, they still have to address what the fans want on the whole superhero front.
Yeah. And how does that play into... what we saw in Peacemaker season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because the end of Peacemaker season 2 is supposed to be directly connected to the next Superman film.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be a neat trick to see how they combine all of this when some things seem very mature and some things don't.
Yeah.
You know, you have Superman who's all like, what the hey, dude? And then, you know, you got Hal Jordan saying, well, fuck this. And it's like, it doesn't feel like they live in the same realm. So how do they make it not kid friendly, but how do you make it so that all the audiences are kind of still connected to your universe.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm sure they have a plan. I don't know if the merger with Warner Brothers and Paramount's going to fuck them though.
Yeah.
Because Paramount just might look at it and be like, well, we don't want to do superhero films anymore. And then, you know, that really fucks DC. Or do they look at it as like, we need to rival Marvel, so here's a shitload of money.
Well, they got to get it right at some point.
Yeah.
One would think.
You would think. So, I don't know. Do you see the article about Bruce Campbell?
No.
So, Bruce Campbell announced that he was canceling all of his future appearances and work because he has been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, shit.
And... the way that he put it is that it is treatable, not curable.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sucks. And he's not really saying what form of cancer, but I don't know what would be considered treatable, not curable. Especially with like technology today, so.
Yeah. Huh. He's only 67.
Yeah.
But for him to start canceling work, it must be somewhat severe at this point.
Yeah, it felt very much like they needed to start whatever treatment was like almost immediately. Hmm. So yeah, that sucks.
Wow. Well, we wish him luck.
Yeah.
Uh, I watched a couple of new things this week.
What did you watch?
There is a series on Peacock called The Burbs.
Like based on the movie?
Based on, yes.
With Tom Hanks?
Yes, who Sweet. Actually makes a cameo in the first episode.
Really?
Well, they show a photo of like one of the town founders.
Okay.
And it's a sketch of Tom Hanks.
Okay.
And then in the final episode, Corey Feldman makes an appearance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's really good.
Really?
Not quite the same story as the movie. But every episode, there's some kind of new freaking twist. What's her name? The blonde who was on Newhart.
Yeah.
Is in it. Paula Pell, who used to write for SNL, and she's on Girls 5 Eva, is in it. Kiki Palmer and Jack Whitehall played the couple.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's all these twists. The guy who's the energy vampire on What We Did in the Shadows, Colin,
mm-hmm.
is in it. He's funny. All the characters are really funny. The story is like, just when you think you've figured it out, you know, there's the strange guy who moved into the house across the street and nobody's seen him. And he arrives in the middle of the night and he drags this thing into the house that looks like he's got a body in a bag or something. And oh my God, it's so good.
Nice.
It was so good. Definitely is something I recommend to people.
Is Feldman playing the character that he played in the movie?
Yeah, not really.
Not really?
He just has a quick appearance.
Just a nod to the movie.
Yeah, and the girl from the movie is in it as well.
Okay.
Does another, you know, cameo.
Okay.
Like, hey, look, it's a throwback. But yeah, the way they get to the ending is really interesting, and they're bodies that show up in the most unusual places, and your mind goes to one spot, and then suddenly it's a totally different story, and oh, really good.
Okay.
Definitely worth checking out. And it was a really easy watch, too.
Okay.
That, and then there's a new Guy Ritchie series called Young Sherlock.
Okay.
Which is really fun. It's Sherlock kind of around senior in college as opposed to like the young Sherlock Holmes that Spielberg did where he was like still in school.
Yeah.
The only name in the cast really is Colin Firth.
Okay.
But other than that, it's like the cast is really strong. It's one of those Guy Ritchie movies where the soundtrack is completely different than the feel of the show.
Okay.
So it's very British rock and roll pop music, kind of like the Heath Ledger movie A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting story. It's like Mycroft is in it, the father and mother are in it. There was a sister who drowned and didn't really die, and fight scenes are really cool the way they've shot them.
Is it contemporary or is it a period piece?
No, it's period.
It's period? Okay.
It's period, but there's the soundtrack, like I said, is like totally different than what you're expecting it to be.
Okay.
They did the same thing on that Guinness show where it was a period piece, but there was like a rock and roll score to it.
Yeah.
You know. But
that seems to be very popular recently. I don't know if you've seen the movie. The Timothée Chalamet one that he's up for, Marty Supreme.
Oh no, I haven't seen it.
So it's a movie that takes place in the '50s, the late '40s, early '50s, and it's got an 80s soundtrack to it.
Okay.
So I think that's like a new popular thing in Hollywood. Let's mix the soundtrack so it's not, you know, it's not like of the time period or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's very cool. He's kind of friends with Moriarty, but then you start to see that Moriarty might have other motives.
Okay.
Behind it. Sherlock is played by, and I'm looking it up right now, is the guy's name is Hero Finds Tiffin.
Okay.
And his uncles are Rafe and Joseph Fiennes.
Okay.
And then another Fiennes shows up later on. Who also is not Rafe or Joseph. But it's just really fun. It's fast, you know, there's everything is really well paced and just kind of flies by. Episodes are a good length.
Yeah.
I was starting to feel it might be a little bit like Enola Holmes.
Okay.
But it's not. It's different. It's really different. It's a really cool story. I'm like halfway through maybe.
Okay.
But it's another one I'd recommend, especially since we're still waiting for shows to show up again.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, it is Joseph Fiennes who shows up.
Oh, okay.
Who was in Shakespeare in Love? Yeah.
Okay.
Getting ready for a new season of One Piece.
Are you? Are you excited for that?
I am. I've seen like there's some stills. I mean, I never read the anime or the manga or whatever it is, but yeah. It looks really cool.
I mean, the animated show is like 1,000 episodes or something. So
yeah. And there's a ton of new characters in season two.
Yeah. Yeah, I only watched like one or two episodes.
Yeah.
And never really got into it. I think that I'd probably need to like try to give it a rewatch.
Yeah, there were rumors that they're trying to get Jamie Lee Curtis for one of the characters this year, but she ended up not being able to do it on their schedule, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to see what it really turns out to be.
She seems to be, like, having a lot of fun now of just taking, like, really weird random jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And just running with it.
Yeah. It's a nice luxury to have.
It is.
I don't know if I would watch the manga version because I just don't get the way the characters are drawn. They don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But
did we have any celebrity deaths this week?
Almost Queen Latifah?
Well, besides that.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Well, The Bride died at the box office.
That's a damn shame. I kind of want to see that. You know, I'm always up for a good monster movie.
Yeah.
And it looked interesting as far as using kind of a contemporary setting with a monster movie where they're kind of like gangsters and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that'd be very interesting. And yeah, and then I heard it was not doing well, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it lost to Hoppers.
Yeah, Disney's been on a weird streak, though, recently. Like, what was it, Zootopia 2 made $1 billion? Like,
yeah,
like, it's very weirdly, like, they're back kind of on top of, like, when they release movies. I haven't seen Hoppers, so I don't know if it's any good, but, you know.
Yeah.
I guess Christian Bale as Frankenstein's monster is just not what people wanted to see.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah, it only opened to $7.3 million domestically.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Had a budget of $90 million. Good God.
That's crazy to spend that much.
So it's 90 million, then what, half? So another 45 on marketing? Although I didn't see a whole lot of marketing for it.
I didn't either.
So I wonder whether or not they pulled back and that hurt them.
I don't know. I saw a couple of things about Maggie Gyllenhaal, but other than that, not too much hype.
Yeah. Which sucks when, like, it's your, you know, your directorial debut, and, like, then it just doesn't do very well. That's got to suck. All right. Well, do you have anything else for this week?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get...
I think that's this.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
We lack a lot of enzymes.